Kursk, A Time to Die, by Robert Moore. Read by Pete Cross.
Of all the branches of men in the forces, there is none which shows more devotion and faces grimmer perils than the submariners. Winston Churchill. Prologue. Saturday, August 12th, 2000. Aboard the USS Memphis in the southern Barents Sea. Captain Mark Breer listened closely to the flow of reports coming from the sonar and radio rooms. In the claustrophobic confines of the ship's attack center, the exchange of information was delivered in clipped and precise tones. Drawn pale faces stared intently at the sensors and computer screens. After nearly 2 months of demanding duty in the Barents Sea, the tension was running high. The younger crew members were being taken to the very limits of their training and beyond. Although the veterans' nerves were steadier, they also felt the pressure of knowing there was no scope for a single error or misjudgment. Breer focused on the ever-shifting tactical picture on the surface. Keeping up with the movements of the Russian ships and submarines was like playing a high-stakes game of three-dimensional chess. The warships were never static, and the movement of each had to be meticulously plotted. He was determined to keep the USS Memphis at periscope depth for as long as he dared. There might be moments when he had to go deep to avoid detection, but very little information can be gleaned without a periscope or mast out of the water. Gliding just 60 feet below the ocean surface, the submarine was intercepting Russian naval communications. The mission represented the perfect marriage of the sailor and the spy, navigating the submarine through hostile waters to collect high-grade naval intelligence. Despite all the technology contained within the hull of the Memphis, there is something very demanding, very human, about driving a submarine into the shallow Barents Sea. Tactics and cunning and a little artistry are just as important as all the electronics. Summer operations are complex missions, as oceanographic conditions constantly change. The Arctic Ocean, broiling and angry for the rest of the year, is calm. For a submarine on covert patrol, that brings hazards. Benign seas combined with long hours of daylight mean a periscope can be more easily spotted by Russian lookouts. But Western submarine commanders like Breer have been taught how to use the summer months to their advantage. One of the tricks is to find where the Arctic ice is melting into the open sea. The fresh water flowing into the ocean creates different layers of salinity and temperature, confusing Russian sonar operators and providing Western submarines with an ideal hiding place. Like the other officers on board, Breer viewed the northern run off the Kola Peninsula as the toughest and most exhilarating military patrol in the world. Nothing rivaled the challenge of a clandestine operation off Russia's Arctic coast. A single navigational blunder or tactical miscalculation could lead to collision or detection, either of which could provoke an international incident. But if all went well, the Memphis would leave no footprints on this invisible front line, and the Russians would never even glimpse the sub's electronic shadow, despite her length of 362 feet and displacement of 7,000 tons. For 5 decades, the frigid waters of the Barents Sea have played silent witness to the most classified espionage campaign in naval history. A generation of British and American submariners have monitored and tracked Russian ships as they left their lairs on the desolate Kola Peninsula and headed out on patrol. Over time, a bonanza of intelligence has been gathered on the capabilities and vulnerabilities of Russian submarines. The icy Barents Sea is still the red-hot center of operations in the lingering Cold War, the closest experience to combat for these American sailors. On this long summer mission, Captain Breer was living up to his reputation as a commander who stayed calm under pressure. After 8 adrenaline-driven weeks on patrol, he had never once shouted at a crew member, let alone lost his temper. The younger officers watched him closely and admired what they saw. He was going places in the U.S. Navy, no question about it. 20 years earlier, he had won the Citadel Sword as the outstanding student in his naval course
Sample complete. Ready to continue?